Hello.
Hello.
Let's open to 2 Kings again. We're talking and we're going to continue about talking about anger. Have you noticed there's a lot of angry people around? Driving, everywhere you shop, it's just, wow. So there's a lot of things we can't control, but we can ask God to help us and that we can learn how to be more Christ-like with his help and more God-centered rather than self-centered. And these times of confusion and distress and things that are going on. So we want to talk a little bit more about how to deal with anger. How do we deal with it? Because number one, everyone has it. We disguise it. We pretend we don't have it. We call it different names. We do everything but admit we have it. Because to have anger would be bad because we're Christians. So we can't be angry. We can't be mad. So we get sarcastic and our anger can come through that way, or we can just go pout and we cannot talk, or we can, there's so many different ways that we can hide anger, but God knows and he sees our heart. And I just want to say up front, nobody has made it is perfect. Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and this isn't to condemn anybody, it's to walk with him. It's learning how to walk with him and walk in his spirit and walk with his strength, because we're going to need it in the days ahead. And I'm talking about family, talking about relationships, different things. As people get very opinionated on certain subjects, we have to maintain our cool, because God doesn't want his people divided. And we're going to talk about the things God hates. And so we should hate what God hates and love what God loves. So in 2 Kings, we talked about this with Naaman. We're just going to go over it real quick. 2 Kings 5, now Naaman, in verse 1, he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, and he was a great man. He was great with his master. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leopard. And one thing, sometimes when we have positions, we can get very arrogant. We can get very proudful because of the position that we have. And then, of course, we have that position, and then we look down on others. And that's one of the first things God hates is a proud look. He hates pride. So here he is, probably very arrogant because he is somebody. And the more you are a somebody, the more you need to be a nobody in Jesus' eyes with him, right? So here he has leprosy, and we know that the story is going to Elijah to get healed. He heard in verse 9, Naaman came with his horses and all of his chariots. He stood at the door of the house of Elijah in verse 10, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him. Doesn't he know who I am? How annoying. How depressing. How discouraging. He just sent a messenger. Saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. He didn't even come out himself. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Well, he should have been excited, because here's an answer to his leprosy. But he was so blinded, because he expected something, and he didn't get what he expected, he almost lost his blessing. So anger can kind of blind us sometimes. But Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought. And this is where we get into trouble. We think. We think this is how God should do it. We think this is how our friend should do it. We think this is how our husband, our wife should do it. And we have these expectations. And one of the reasons we get angry is our expectations are not met. And sometimes we have too high expectations on people. People are only people. They can't meet all your needs, right? So sometimes we have to lower our expectations, or you're going to constantly be disappointed and angry. But he thought, behold, he's going to come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, ta-ta-da-da, and recover me. And then he didn't like the river that he was supposed to go in. There's some nicer rivers. Why did he have to pick that one? So he turned away and he went in a rage. He just, you know, we can do this in our mind. We can expect something. It doesn't happen. People don't meet our expectations. So we get angry. We cut ourselves off from fellowship. But he had some good friends. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Much rather than go wash and be clean. In verse 14, here's the key to the whole thing. He went down and dipped himself. He was proud. He had to dip 7 times probably to get that pride out of him in that dirty water. But the whole thing was he did get healed, but he wouldn't have if he would have stayed angry. And if he would have stayed in that pride. So we're going to talk a little bit about anger. Proverbs 29:22 warns. There's some warning with anger. An angry man stirs up strife. And a hot-tempered, the King James says, a furious man abounds in transgression. So we talked about it last week. Common sense works better at low levels. When you get hot and mad and angry, you say things you don't mean. You lose friendships. You lose family members. It can cost you a lot. There is a price to pay when you lose your temper. In Proverbs 14:29, it says, he that is slow to wrath, or whoever is long-suffering, is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. So to be slow to wrath, slow to take offense, be patient. Sometimes we have to be patient under injury. When we're dealing with people that we don't like, we have bosses that we don't care for, they don't treat us the way we expect to be treated, we have to be patient. And there's only one way we can, and that's with walking with the Lord from our heart, and he's the center. Because of the fall of man, we became the center. And now everything's about me and my emotions, and they hurt my feelings. And if you're really sensitive, and I learned this being in the ministry for 4 decades, it's sin when you're just touchy, 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 and everyone has to walk on eggshells. You got to toughen up. Right? Now, I have to tell you a true story. It's almost hard to believe this, but this is a guy from Georgia, and he tells about an experience that he had. He served as a nurse in the operating room for several years. One day, a couple arrived. Both of them had gunshot wounds. He had awakened late for his first day on the job because his wife did not set the alarm. That's a reason to get mad, isn't it? He expressed his displeasure by shooting her in the arm. Not to be outdone. She retreated to another room, got a shotgun, and shot him in the arm. And as this nurse gathered the paperwork in the preoperative unit, he heard something one would only expect to hear in a country song. Separated by the deputy sheriff and handcuffed to their respective stretchers, the husband began, "I love you, baby, and I'm sorry I shot you." This is a true story. The wife responded, "I love you too, baby, and I'm sorry I shot you." Wow. There seems to be an epidemic of anger these days. People do strange things when they're mad. I mean, just think. He could have set the alarm himself, but he blamed her and got mad at her. See, he expected her to set the alarm. He got angry because she didn't meet his needs. Many people use their anger to control people. If I just intimidate them and I'm angry, then they'll do what I want. Well, that's a toddler. Amen. Anger is very selfish. Yeah. Anger has to do with getting even, setting someone straight, or settling the score. Another sign or a fruit of anger that we don't want, it puts other people down and it pushes people away from us. Not good fruits. We're going to talk a little bit about anger. It's a powerful emotion, and nobody wants to admit they struggle with it. So we stuff it. We disguise it. Now they say you can take a pill. We medicate it. We rename it. We do everything but admit it. And when we don't admit it, we can't get help. We can't get free. We can't walk in freedom if we don't face what we're really dealing with, right? Now, anger is like a red light we talked about last week on the dashboard of your car. It's a warning. When you get angry, and we do, we have an emotion that somebody crossed a boundary. Something happened. Something was said. My needs weren't met. Someone forgot my birthday. So, you know, this one, she's passed away now, but one of my friends, every year her husband would forget her birthday. Every year. And every year they'd fight. You'd think he'd write it on his calendar so they didn't fight. But every year was a big deal. They'd fight. And it was just so sad to watch them every year fight over birthdays. God wants to have that emotion of anger. It's caution. Something's wrong. Not to live And some people just live on that state of emotional high, emotional anger, and they push people around. Reminds you of the devil, doesn't it? Just a mean guy. Here's one definition I found of anger. It's a strong emotion of irritation, agitation, or hostility when a need or expectation is not met, an assumed right that has been violated or not fulfilled. And here again, Naaman, he was very upset because he had a need to get healed and it wasn't met the way he thought. And sometimes we get mad because God doesn't meet our needs the way we thought. Who thought the end times was going to be like this? Things are happening. Well, we get expectations, and when we expect something, we feel we have the right for that something to happen. I want you to do this, and I want you to do it now. And when it doesn't, we can feel irritated. We get agitated. We get angry. So needs that are not met can cause anger. And if you don't know that, you won't know how to verbalize it and tell the people what you need. And this is the biggest thing, I think. People do not, especially in marriages and friends, they don't say what they need. They don't admit what they need. They don't talk their problems through. They avoid it. Nobody likes confrontation. But if you don't confront things, it's going to get worse, right? Now, the Old Testament, a word for anger is APH, meaning nose or nostrils, as in the nostrils are flared up in anger. It also means short of face, or the nose means quick to anger, short of face. So it's quick to anger in Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man is like a firecracker and does foolish things. You ever seen a firecracker go off, a big one, and it just does damage? We used to go to the Wayzata place, and they used to do fireworks, and they did so low, people got, they wouldn't do them anymore because there was too much damage from their fireworks being on that hill. We'd put our blankets down, and all the fireworks and ashes would come on. Someone got burned, and that was it. Well, same thing happens in our lives. People get angry, they get mad, they go off, and we all get burned. Plus, the person that's angry burns himself. And it means short of face. It also means long of face or nose. It means slow to anger. Psalms 145:8, the Lord is slow to anger. Anger can move from one stage of intensity to another, and sometimes quite fast. From mild irritation to uncontrollable rage. And the word anger is one letter short of danger. Hot-blooded emotions can lead us into dangerous territories. Anger is not a sin. To be angry is not a sin. What we do with our anger determines if it becomes sin. So just because you feel upset doesn't mean that's a sin. It's a warning. It's a red light. Somebody crossed a boundary. Somebody abused you. Somebody mistreated you. Somebody else got injustice for something that, you know, there's so many different reasons why we can get upset. But now we have a choice to make. What are you going to do with that irritation? What are we going to do with that family member that drives you nuts? Jesus had righteous anger. And think about that. When he took the whip and cleaned them all out, he was in total control by his Father. He was totally in righteous anger in cleaning out the wrong to make it right. Wonder what he'd do today in these churches. So Jesus had righteous anger, which led him to right a wrong. He wanted to cleanse the evil out and restore it back to a pure temple. So he drove the money changers from the temple. Anger can be used for good or bad. It's like a knife in the hand of a surgeon or a cook when she cooks, but that same knife or a worse one in the hands of a murderer can kill. So your anger can be channeled correctly or it can be mischanneled and cause a lot of damage and a lot of trouble. And some of us lived with abusive fathers and we know the price of anger and the fear of not being able to come home and have safety, but you always walked on eggshells, and some of us know that anger. The thing is, you don't want to pass that on, because usually you learn your habits from your parents. And you can also bring in bad habits from our parents. You have to ask God to help us break those habits and cycles and start treating people differently than the way your fathers treated you, right? Hurt people. So the reason why people are hurting you is because they've been hurt. And until we learn how to really give God our pain, and this is, I don't know if it's easier for women than men, because men don't admit they have pain, but when women hurt, we cry, we pray, and we give it to God. But a lot of men just, oh, I'm just tough, that's the way we are. And you don't realize you're stuffing it. You're stuffing it. Now you have this huge bowl of anger rather than just a little. You have this huge issue that you've never dealt with because, of course, you're Christian and you don't want to deal with your anger. But everyone around you knows you have it. So hurt people, they do hurt people. And that's why you can forgive them and why we can get forgiveness ourselves. Because when we're hurt, somebody triggers us. We've been hurt. And we're human. We make mistakes. But that's why we have a Savior. And that's why we have to have a relationship. In these end times, as things escalate and people are just losing it, we have to know how to handle ourselves in hard times. Unresolved anger, which was leftover hurt and rejection from your childhood, maybe your teenage years. We've all went through teenage years. No one goes unscathed with something, right? But some people have never processed their pain. They've never processed it. They've never learned how to get over rejection. So everything that's said to them is rejection. Everything someone says to you is rejection. And that's not true, because now you're filtering everything through the pain that you had as a child, and you can't have intimacy and close friends because you're seeing everything through that hurt. And that rejection. You've never learned how to express your emotions and your feelings in a healthy way. Some people just roll over and give in. Well, I can never make him happy, so whatever makes him happy. No, quit. You've stopped fighting. You have to learn how to say what you need. Otherwise, resentment's going to grow because you aren't honest. And a lot of people just lie. That's one another thing we're going to talk about. God hates lying. Well, I just don't want to fight. Well, you have to express your needs in a correct way. No one said this is easy. So when people are mad, they slam doors, they pout, they get into self-pity, they start shouting put-downs. And when you get in a fight, if you're married, don't drag up all the stuff. Well, you never did that. And all of a sudden, this little disagreement turns into this huge war. Some people have never learned to pinpoint their problems and solve it. I love this story. It's a true story about a camping program in Texas. And these three counselors would take these 10 troubled teens. And they took them camping. And they all made an agreement before they left on this camping trip. We are not going to eat, sleep, or hunt, or do anything, hike, or do anything, until if we have a flare, if somebody gets mad, we're going to huddle. And we're going to pinpoint the problems. Well, they didn't like each other. These 10 teens had trouble, but they soon learned if they didn't fix this problem, they weren't going to eat. And if they didn't fix the problem for the whole group, not just for individuals, but they had to learn how to communicate, and they had to learn to express themselves. They had to learn at a young age, instead of fighting and running away from problems, they had to deal with it. A lot was at stake. When you're hungry, you're hungry. You don't want to go 5 hours without eating. You start learning how to meet your needs. And this was great for these kids. They really learned how to talk through their problems rather than fight them out or run away from them. So I like that. That was a good goal. No one could fix a meal until that problem was solved. The group huddled up, pinpointed the problem, came up with a workable solution. Just think, those skills they took through their whole life then. And some people have never learned that skill of knowing what the problem is and then finding a solution. And some of these narcissistic bosses, you can't tell them a problem. You can't ever come and say, this is wrong or this is wrong. They don't want to hear it. They want this or that. So then they have the people that have narcissistic businesses and churches, they fall apart from the inside because nobody can pinpoint problems and problem solve without that narcissistic pastor or person, business person, getting upset. So no problem gets solved. They just hide stuff from them. And that's what a lot of people do in marriage. I don't want to get them mad, so I'm not telling them. Or I'm just going to agree. Those things build over time. Whenever you're angry and you allow it to boil over, it makes everything worse. Everything worse. A little problem becomes a huge problem now. It's costly. It takes a toll on our physical bodies. When you get angry, it affects your health. It's stressful. Everything, your adrenaline, everything starts to rise, and emotionally and then spiritually. It affects your walk with God. If you don't resolve things and you don't learn how to forgive the way Christ has forgiven you, if you don't forgive and learn how to let things go, you let things build up. You know, that's why when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Why? Because he forgave us. So we have to keep that heart of forgiveness, even though we don't want to. But that's what happens, is that that person we're mad at now controls you. That's all you think about. That's all you talk about. That angry man, that boss. And you come home and you bring him home. You know what I mean? Now he controls you, that person. And so God wants us to learn how to forgive him. Let it go. Let it drop. And that's not easy. But it's the only way we can be free. Otherwise, it's terribly hard on our physical body, all the emotions that we go through. And some people just live angry lives. You walk around and you go to stores and stuff, you just see anger on people. You know, you see these checkout clerks that are just so tired of dealing with weird people that they're, what do you want? Sometimes I go, boy, am I glad I'm not married to him, or sure glad you're not married to her. They're just angry people. They don't know how to deal with their pain. So it's hard on our physical, our emotional, our spiritual well-being. And it has the power to ruin our relationships and damage our health and mess up our walk with God. And that's the short list. That's the short list. Okay, let's get into seventh thing God hates. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. That's pride. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. This reminds me of the wicked. We have wicked in power in places now. And God hates that. He hates the wicked that plan against the kings of the earth, come against the what? The Lord and his anointed. God doesn't like their wicked plans. These are characteristics of Lucifer. Pride, deceit, feet that make haste to run evil, violence, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Now, you can talk to people in family or churches or whatever, and you can disagree, but then there's a spirit. There's a spirit that God hates with it. It's a spirit of discord. The Bible uses the term hate in two ways: the pursuit of righteousness, and the other is an unrighteous emotion of sin. In the pursuit of righteousness, we see it in Psalms 97:10, that those who love the Lord hate evil. So as you're walking with him, you hate what he hates. You hate pride. You hate haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed insult. You hate all these things too as you walk with him. In 1 John 1:5-6, a man who hates, he's walking in darkness. The darkness has blinded his eyes, and we get into selfish anger where it's all about me. The top of the list, the things that God hates, is a proud look. Pride. You can just see it on people. They're just so arrogant. They look down on other people. They don't go to help them, but they're arrogant. The whole world system operates in pride. 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. It's of the world. We're living in a world that is not walking with the Lord, and we're seeing all of these things before our eyes because it's the world. You can expect things from the world, but it's sad when it comes from the church. Now the church has been infiltrated and you see some of these things. The church is caving from the inside. A lying tongue, dishonesty. And you know, you watch the news and you get angry because you know they're lying. There's so much lying going on. Dishonesty, God hates that when people lie. It's an intent to deceive. And he says, in the end times, many shall be deceived. So we know lying is going to be huge in the end times. Lying, dishonesty, God hates it. Satan is the father of lies. So as the world system grows, guess what? More lying is going to happen because he's the father of it. Right. We must hate lying lips, first with ourselves. Judge ourselves. First our own and anywhere else we find lying lips. And then I'm going to go down to number 7. God hates a man who sows discord among the brethren. In the workplace, among your friends, in your church, and probably even your family, there's that one person that causes trouble for everyone. This is speaking to the person who stirs up strife among relatives and within the fellowship of the church, causing misery where the nurturing of a family should be. If this is you, and I like this, seek forgiveness and stop it. If it's someone you know, pray about how to address the problem. God hates this. This is one of the things God hates. And then address it. We don't get to ignore things that God hates. And he hates strife and division and confusion within the family, whether it's in your church or among your relatives. There's some things we can't talk about. We all have strong opinions on certain subjects. I could pick off 10 over here. With your family or different friends, you know what? You don't talk about those things. You know why? Because you're not going to change them, and they're not going to change you. If they're open and they're honest and they want to talk, it's one thing, but there's this throwing of stuff. You have to agree with me, and you have to believe this and that. This is causing strife, so you're going to have to know which family members, where they stand on certain things, and some things with friends, just don't talk about it. Why? Because blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the sons of God. We're supposed to want peace. We're supposed to strive to have peace. You guys doing okay? Some causes of anger quickly, not getting our way. How selfish we are when we don't get our way. Some people grow angry when they lose control of a situation. Controlling people like to control outcomes. You just have to let things flow. You can't control everything. Feeling rejected, loss, disappointment, injustice, feeling inadequate. All these things can cause anger. And I'm not going to go into them, I could. But while on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In Luke 23:34, we have to follow Christ's example. Is it really worth fighting over? Your relatives are not going to probably ever agree with you politically, emotionally, religiously, whatever. Enjoy the time you can together with them. And stop trying to get everyone over on your side. Have you found out, looking back years ago, your side was wrong? Have we ever pushed stuff that we thought, oh boy, I was wrong on that. So we pray they forgive us and we forgive them, right? I'm no longer just an animal that reacts. You're not an animal. Even though we were born and the nature of man fell, we were self-centered. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you become Christ-centered. So no, God is in control. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that we're connected to him and through him, rather than always apart from him trying to do all this stuff. Because that's how animals react, like dogs. Just we have choices to make. We can act. We get angry, and now we have a choice. What's your tone? How are your words? How are you going to treat people when you're mad? And this is stuff we should have learned when we were little at home. We should have learned how to treat people. We should have been to school and they should have taught us on relationship. Nobody teaches you. And then you go to church and everyone's so different. And they're just, get along. And nobody knows how to act. They're all toddlers, spoiled brats, or arrogant, or lying, gossiping. And then we all say, oh, good, well, let's have a good time here. This is the problem. We go to church and we sing songs and we worship God, and then we go home and yell and scream. Then we come back to church and we sing songs again. He wants us to take him, not just in those songs, throughout the day. Everything we do should filter through him, that we're connected to him. It's just religious when you act one way at church and then you're totally different when you're not at church. The fall of man became disordered. I am the center now. My emotions are to please me. That's why you have to pick up your cross, deny yourself. Our emotions aren't to please us. We're to please him. Lord, help me please you today. This really ticked me off. Help me. And trust me, being a pastor for 4 decades, a lot of people ticked me off through those years. And I had to learn to walk in love and smile. And you're going to have to do the same thing. Because if it weren't for the grace of God, so would you be, right? So when we stand praying, we have to forgive. We have to let it go. We have to let it drop. That's the example Christ wants us to have. In your marriages, in your family, with your children, because we're not going to agree. And as things intensify, more and more things, I think, are coming in the future where people are going to do this or that or the other. How are you going to respond? How are you going to react with the anger of what you see on TV or the violence? Or how are you going to act? I lose my temper. They touch my reputation. I'm sensitive. God calls it sin. It springs from me in the center. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And what are we supposed to do? Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. This is work, because it's work on our emotions. It's work on our heart. It's work because we've got rejections. It's work because it's not easy to forgive, because you want to pay them back. You want to get even. But God said vengeance is his. So it's either his or yours. Christ is in me now, so I have to choose. In closing, when the Pharisees attacked Jesus, did he cry? Did he moan? Oh, they got me again, their reputation. He knew who he was. He knew who he was connected to. He let the insults just because he knew who he was. We got to get secure in the Lord, because people don't like us, and, you know, persecution's increasing in the end times. We have to be secure. Let some of these insults, so what, they call you a whatever, holy roller, Christian, whatever. Can you stand in the battle without falling apart and being angry? Because the ones that panic and are fearful are the ones the devil takes out first. And it's through fear. There's so much fear porn going on. I choose not to fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So where's all this fear coming from? The devil. He wants the fear and torment. And God doesn't want us to live in fear. Vengeance is the Lord's. So you know what that gives us a choice to do? I'm free to love you. I'm free. If I'm angry and I hate you, I can't love you.
Sorry.
Jesus was submitted to his Father. And I'm closing with second closing. When they lied, and they lied about Jesus, what'd they say? You're of the Father. You're of Beelzebub. He didn't get upset. Didn't even freak him out. It was no threat to him. And when people call us names or whatever, it shouldn't be a threat to us, because we're connected to the Lord. It's hard on our flesh, but that's why we have to die daily. And this is the things of the world that are coming. All this anger and violence and lying and stuff. And anger causes mistakes. We feel we've been hurt and dealt with unfairly. Don't add to it by losing your temper. Then we let the evildoer dominate your thoughts, your tongue, and your home. You can't get your mind off of this person that you're mad at. You're now controlled by him. We need to act unto God, not react to the one who hurt us. This helped me in ministry. I kind of grabbed this out of my old notes, because I had to learn to give things to God, because people don't know how to treat people. You can lay down your life for somebody and they'll destroy you in 5 minutes. because they don't know how to walk with the Lord properly either. And then you have to put yourself in their shoes and say, they've been through a lot. So then your heart can become full of mercy, but then you can't stay there forever. You got to also have boundaries in your own life. This is quite a lot of work. Yeah. And no one wants to talk about it. So I'm anchored to God. I'm trusting Him. The man I'm mad at is no longer controlling me. This is good news. I'm free. The people you're mad at, here we're having these racial wars. People are angry. They're mad. I learned years ago, God, it's just like flowers. God created all of us. The blood of Jesus makes us the same size. Amen. They want division in this day. And we just have to say we don't want to be a part of it. Amen. Father, we thank you that we'll hate the things you hate and that we'll react. Teach us, Holy Spirit, we cannot do this without you. We ask you to help us. There's so many situations that people have in this hour. We can't even imagine what they're going through. But Father, you're there. You said you'll never leave them. So we thank you for how to deal with the situations that are at hand on so many of your people right now. They're mad at their governments. They're mad at this. They're mad at the other. There's so many things. And justifiably so, with a lot of these things that are coming down. But Father, you knew these things were going to happen. And you also said you'd never leave us. So Father, we thank you for your protection in this hour. And we give our pain, we give our rejection, we give our expectations to you. Help us love people. In Jesus' name. Well, I just want to say something, maybe just a little bit. I just want to thank everyone that's helped us. So far, we have not been taken off of YouTube, but I just heard of another big ministry that did this week. So we always make a YouTube or a video every Friday night, Friday or something. So if you can't find us on YouTube, look at livinginhispresence.org. In the future, just bookmark that, livinginhispresence.org, and that way you can always find us, because even if they did take us down on YouTube, when they take Christians off the air or whatever, you can find us there at this point in time, livinginhispresence.org. And I want to thank you for all your emails and all your letters. We read every single one. We get a kick out of people's testimonies. Tim and I read them all. And also for you that are giving online, we see it, and we're so thankful. We couldn't do it without you. We really couldn't. In this hour, it's been very dark, but this is a light we have right now, and we're supposed to walk in the light and spread the light, and we're going to do that. And thank you for helping us. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend.